Welcome to Insight for Living. On Wednesday's program, Chuck Swindoll made a shocking statement about the prophet who's at the center of our current study. He called Jonah, and I quote, "the weirdest evangelist in all the recorded scriptures." Now, why did Chuck come to that conclusion? Well, after the most successful three-day citywide campaign, a revival broke out in Nineveh, and more than 100,000 people responded favorably. But afterwards, Jonah sulked and complained. Chuck added, Jonah needed more follow-up than his converts. As we continue our study in Jonah chapter 4, Chuck begins with prayer.
Our Father, this passage comes as an indirect rebuke to all who live lives of selfishness and self-serving motivations. Help us, I pray, as we move through these days in which we live, to realize that you are the one who is in control, that your plan is the one that is unfolding and it is best. As we just heard, our best thoughts are of you, whether by day or by night. Deliver us from our own agenda, our own plans, our own desires, and cause us to realize that you know what is best. There is none other better to guide us in life than you. May you speak to us in such a way that you crowd out all other thoughts, you silence all other voices, and you make insignificant all other events of this day, so that we realize you really mean what you say, because you have written it in such a way that it penetrates. It digs deep within our souls, cutting down to where no surgeon's scalpel could ever reach, revealing the thoughts and intentions of our innermost thoughts and heart. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit's work as you take charge of the truth and drive it home. We have our occupations and we are grateful for them. We thank you for the salaries we earn. And from the money we make, we give. And we're learning to be even more generous. You teach us even that. Use our gifts today, which we give joyfully and generously, for the greater cause of Christ. And may this act of giving help even further to draw us away from ourselves and into the lives of those we will never meet, who live in places we will never go, so that their lives will be changed from a lifestyle we would never know. Guide us this morning as we think these thoughts that you have preserved for us. May we learn the lessons that are to be learned from them, and may they guide us even through this week that is upon us. We commit to you, our Father, these things in prayer and these gifts that we give. In the name of Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us. And all God's people said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Ticked Off to the Bitter End.
If there was ever an example in the Bible of God's message being delivered effectively by one who didn't want to deliver it, it is Jonah. He was not willing that any of the Ninevites would live, not even one, but that all of them would perish. The reason he was a racist, he was a prejudiced, selfish prophet. As God witnessed the Ninevites' unanimous acts of repentance and their change of heart toward life and their lifestyle of wickedness, he literally changed his game plan from destroying them to sustaining them. What happened made Jonah so angry, he begged to die. More than once. You will read in chapter 4 and verse 3, "Just kill me now. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." He sustains this racial prejudice against the Gentiles. He never wanted those people to believe. And when he realized that his message was a message of doom, that in 40 days they would all be destroyed, he was willing to take that message to them, hoping that they would in fact be destroyed. And the Lord said to him, "Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah?" And you'll remember from our time in that passage last time, Jonah doesn't answer. He doesn't have an answer. He realizes when he's asked that question that he's simply ticked off. He's simply angry about the whole thing. God may have changed his mind, but let me assure you, Jonah has not. We see that in verse 5 of chapter 4, where he went out to the east side of the city, and there he quickly put together a small, we would call it a lean-to, a little shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. This is the last stage of Jonah's pouting. His twisted desire is now to distance himself from all that's happened. He goes east of the city and sits down and stares. Alone with his private thoughts, still seething over God's decision to change his plan from catastrophe and annihilation to divine blessing, Jonah settles into his man-made shelter, succumbing to total selfishness. Now then, the beautiful part of the story is that even when he finds his prophet in this state of mind, God graciously and sovereignly moves in to woo him back and to talk with him and to reason with him. Jonah's in an unreasonable state. So what does God do? You have your pen handy. Look at the text that we're looking at, Jonah chapter 4. You'll find three things that God arranges, or your Bible may read, he appoints. You will see them right in the text. Verse 6, God arranged for a leafy plant. Your Bible may read, a gourd. Verse 6, he arranged for the plant. How comforting of God to do that. I'll come back to it in a moment. Look at verse 7. God also arranged for a worm. This is an old cutworm that would come and eat into the stem of the plant and kill it. I'll get to that in a moment. And third, you will notice verse 8, as the sun grew hot, God arranged, there's the third time, God appointed a scorching east wind to blow across that blistering sands of the desert east of Nineveh. On top of the rays of the sun, we now have the hot wind. You see the growing intensity? You see the acceleration of God's plan? That's how God sovereignly works. He begins with a comforting maneuver. Look at what he does. Back to verse 6. He arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. God didn't have to do that. Could have left him alone in the shelter and turned his back on him and ignored him. God is no isolationist. No, not on your life. God brought some comfort. How patient of the Lord to do that. He arranged for a plant. It grew quickly and spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased Jonah's discomfort. Look at that. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant. He's grateful at least for the shade. Now, he hadn't planned on the cutworm, but God had. God, remember, is at work on Jonah. The plant is just part of the process. By the way, before I get too deep in this, he's at work on you and me as well. And he begins very graciously, almost innocuously, to soften us, to comfort us, to get our attention. But he realizes that Jonah is not grateful for God. He's grateful for the plant. So the Lord ratchets up the plan and he sends along a worm. And what do we read? He arranged for a worm, and the next morning at dawn, God starts early, doesn't he? The worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. There goes the shade. And if that isn't enough, notice he tightens the screws even tighter. When the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. God moves in mysterious ways. I don't know what the leaves and the worm and the wind are in your life. I wouldn't pretend to know. But I know this. He moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds and never failing skill, he works together his bright design and carries out his sovereign will. He's at work in your life. He's at work in mine. And now that the shade is gone, and now that the sun is hot, now that the east wind is blowing, maybe this will be enough to break Jonah. Because without being broken, Jonah will never surrender his selfish ways. The plant withers away, the sun is hot, beats on his head, and he grows faint. And what happens? He wishes to die. Death is certainly better than living like this. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? I mean, really, Jonah? Is that right?" You've reduced your life to the leaves of a plant? Unless you think that that might have done it, Jonah's response is, yes! Yes! Even angry enough to die. I think he shouted that. In so many words, so many ways, he's saying, you better believe it. So the Lord has increased the pressure, made him ultimately very, very miserable. We have to go back to the words you recall of Francis Thompson that I mentioned in the second message in this series on the hound of heaven, where he has set the hounds of heaven against Jonah, and he is determined in some way to bring him to his senses and to break this selfish streak. And nothing works. As I've titled this, he's ticked off to the bitter end. He is determined that life is miserable and nothing is going to change his thinking. What a terrible way to live. You know, there are people like this. Some of you are thinking, I know I'm married to one of them. So don't answer out loud. Just please listen. I want to talk to the person who is like this. Not only are you miserable, you make others miserable with you. It's a choice. Joy and happiness are choices you make in life. So is selfishness and negativism. So finally, the Lord speaks directly to him regarding this attitude. He's no longer arranging things or bringing things to get his attention. He now talks to him directly. Especially when Jonah's response to the Lord is, yes, I have every right to be angry. In so many words, that's what verse 9 is saying. Yes, I'm angry and I'm proud of it. Well, that was enough. Enough was enough. Even God's leash has a limit. And he's reached the limit. Here's the heartbreaking reality. At this point, Jonah isn't even thinking about the changed lives of the Ninevites. So God once more turns there, which was the whole purpose of getting him to come in the first place, is that these people might be changed. And so the Lord said, and from here on it's a monologue. Jonah says nothing else. The book ends, if you will, with a death wish that seals Jonah's lips. You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. You have compassion for the plant, though you didn't even plant it. It came quickly and died quickly. But look, Jonah. Look at the city. Look at the smiles. Look at the changed lives, from the king all the way to the peasant. Look at the humility of these people who were once arrogant in their wickedness. Look at this, Jonah. Look at this. What a difference. What a change. In fact, let me say something about the number. There's an insight here I don't want you to miss. Nineveh has more than 120,000 people. And I mentioned in the reading that the Hebrew has the line that these are people who don't know their right hand from their left. Now stop. If you were sitting at your kitchen table and you are reading your Bible at the end of Jonah, and you come to that line, which the New American Standard reads, including that, who would that refer to? Who would be those who do not know their right hand from their left? Small children is the only answer. Until they're old enough to understand left and right and to understand that concept of hands doing what right and left hands do, they're young. So let's understand 120,000 has reference to little children. I agree with Charles Ryrie in his footnote in the study Bible in the New American Standard, where he says this has reference to children. In fact, that puts the number of the people of Nineveh over 600,000. 600,000. Not just 120. This is the most significant revival recorded in all the Bible. Look, Jonah. Look at that. Look at all of these people. Children, younger, older adults. And now look at them, the change in their lives. Jonah, look. Look, get your eyes off this gourd that's died and your own comfort and consider all of these people who have believed my message and have taken my warning to heart. And the result is they are now living and will begin to live different lives, Jonah. And he now says, they had been living in spiritual darkness, but the implication clearly is no longer. Shouldn't I feel sorry? Shouldn't I feel compassion for such a great city as this? That's the reason I brought you here. That's the plan I have in my vision for a world without hope and peace and forgiveness, Jonah. That's the role of a prophet, to make my message known to those who would otherwise live and die, not miserable from the wind and the weather and the sun, but miserable for lack of peace within their lives.
It's remarkable to see Jonah's resistance to the obvious work of God right before his eyes. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Ticked Off to the Bitter End. To learn more about the ministry of Insight for Living, visit us online at insightworld.org. As you followed along with Chuck's brand new series on Jonah, perhaps you've seen an obvious parallel between the prophet's rebellion against God and a son or daughter who's become a prodigal. Maybe it's a grandchild who's running from him rather than to him. Well, Chuck delivered a helpful message on this topic, and as a tool to help you better understand how to engage with your loved one, we'd be happy to send you a free copy on CD. It's called When the Fun Stops for Parents. Request a copy by going to insight.org/offer. This offer is valid in the United States only. This daily program and these resources are made possible through the contributions of people just like you. And when you give, we know God will use your generosity to touch men and women all over the world who desperately need a second chance. Someone left a comment on our Facebook page that said, Chuck, thank you for presenting the unpasteurized Word of God. Well said. You can be sure Insight for Living will never filter or water down God's message. To partner with us by giving a donation today, call us If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. And before we go, if you're still making arrangements for your summer vacation, let me remind you about the upcoming cruise conference to Alaska. Please be ready to jot down the phone number coming up in just a moment and reserve your spot today. We'd love to have you join us in July for our 40th anniversary celebration. Treat yourself to a vacation you'll never forget on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to the Great Frontier with Chuck Swindoll.
Honestly, I had no idea that a cruise to Alaska could be so much fun. And without a doubt, the stunning views took my breath away.
God's artistic genius is on full display in Alaska. In fact, I guarantee this, you'll come home refreshed and filled with awe for His majestic creation.
Yeah, at one point our ship was getting chased by dolphins. They were playing and spinning in the waves. It was amazing.
You'll have plenty of time for adventures on shore, lingering conversations around mealtime, and strolling through the idyllic ports of call. And this will be memorable because it will be in celebration of our 40th anniversary at Insight for Living Ministries.
The dates are June 29 through July 6, 2019. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Hear a cautionary message about the danger of self-centered thinking. Friday from Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Ticked Off to the Bitter End, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.